If you'd like to follow along this morning, go ahead and be turning your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to pick up this morning and hopefully finish tonight a series of messages we began looking at several weeks ago on our response to living in a world full of fear, in a world full of uncertain times, as we continue to see different things taking place in our world that continues to cause us to question, is this the worst of times? Have things ever been as bad as this before? We've never experienced anything like this. The world is falling apart and all of these different things with all the different tragedies that have been taking place and all the different killings and murders and all the different things that have been going on. What is our response? Because if we're not careful, our natural reaction to those kind of things is almost self-defeating. The fear is almost debilitating, especially for those of us as children of God. If children of God all over the world look at the events that have been taking place and go, the world is coming to an end, the world is falling apart, we've never seen it like this before, it's terrible, it's horrible, woe is me, the end is coming, and we become so defensive in our posture, our light begins to fade. But yet, as we've looked over the last few weeks, it's in moments like this when we have opportunities to shine and we have opportunities to share love and hope and peace when things don't make sense. The contrast between light and dark, I believe, becomes even greater. So this morning I want us to look at how we have been created to be sent. We've looked at a lot of different things. We're created with a purpose. We were created to belong to a family, to become like Jesus. Last week, it was we were created to bless. That means we were created to serve. We are here for the benefit of other people, not for ourselves. And this morning, I want us to look at this idea that we were created to be sent. Or another way to say that, we were created to be on mission. We were created to be doing something different. We are called out. We are a part of the called out. We are a part of this family of God. And there's something that we are to be doing. We were created to do these things, especially in the light of what is happening in our world. Now, when you think about this idea of being sent, when you think about Matthew 28, the whole go into all the world and all that, when we think about being sent, most every church that I've ever been a part of, we think of and they thought of being sent as meaning you had to go to some foreign country to be sent to do something. Well, I want you to see some things this morning because that's actually not our priority. Our priority begins with ourself and our relationship with God, and then it moves to our local environment, and then it moves globally. It's not just the other way around. It doesn't go global first, then local, then me. It goes with me and those people who are around me and then those people who are far off. And I've known a ton of churches and seen churches that die and have had to close their doors. And it was interesting sitting in a meeting about 12 years ago when I was working in Nashville, and there was a church that was going to have to close its doors because they only had about 15 people attending there. And they were having to close their doors because they couldn't pay to keep the lights on. They couldn't do all the different things. So they met with the church where I was working with, and they said, hey, we're going to have to close our doors. There's, you know, we're just not growing. We're not doing anything. But we want to make sure that you will take on these two foreign points of interest that we have, and you will continue to support them. And I sat there listening to this, and I thought, wow, imagine this. Here's a church that's closing its doors because they can't reach the people around them because they're more concerned about reaching people overseas. And luckily, one of the elders there that was meeting with us said, you know, this doesn't make sense, guys. What if you'd spent the last 10 years being concerned about things locally and not things globally? Maybe you'd still have a church. And it made me think then, what if we could live our lives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on mission? What if we changed our focus instead of focusing all over the world, which that's good, don't get me wrong, that's good, but we would take care of the places where we have the greatest influences first and then begin to spread our reach outward. Instead of going to places where people don't even know who we are, they don't know what we look like, they've never even been with us, They don't get to play with us. They don't get to go to school with us. They don't work with us. Those people, instead of all those people, we go focus on people who don't even get to see us. So I want you to see this morning because I think it's huge. I think if churches are going to continue to exist in a relevant, viable fashion, they are going to have to realize that stuff going on in China and Africa and South America and all those places are great things. But if it comes at the neglect of taking care of the people around us, we're losing the battle. And I want us to spend some time looking at that because this is something that every single one of us can do. So I want you to notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Now from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. I want you to see this because I think it's so important. Hopefully over the last few weeks you've realized that your vocation is so much more than your career. That your vocation as a child of God is a calling, it's a purpose. To be on mission everywhere you go. To be on point in living the life that God has called you to live so that you can be a voice of hope, a voice of peace, a voice of life, of reconciliation. Hopefully we understand that maybe now a little bit more than before, but it's true. And the whole idea of sowing and reaping, that concept plays into this. Because you are reaping right now the kind of life that you are sowing. If you are a hypercritical person, guess what you're going to reap in your life? Criticism. If you are a hyper-bitter person, guess what you're going to reap in your life? Bitterness. If you're a hyper-judgmental person, I mean, you judge people and you judge them and you judge them and you judge them and you tell them how terrible they are if they don't do this, 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 and this. And man, I'm doing it out of love, but you need to change, change, change. Guess what you're going to reap in return? A lot of judgment. A lot of ill will. If we are sowing love and peace and hope and reconciliation, guess what we're going to reap in our lives? Love, hope, peace, reconciliation. Guess what's going to happen if we focus on being the kind of person who is on mission? And that's what our concern is going to be, that we're going to be concerned about the people that we are about to go eat lunch with. All of us, maybe not all of us, most of us, are going to probably go somewhere for lunch today. You're going to walk into a restaurant full of people. You're going to speak to somebody when you walk up to the hostess desk. You're going to talk to someone when they come to take your order. You're going to see people as you park your car and as you go into and as you leave. And you're going to, if you go home today, you're going to see neighbors in your neighborhood. And you're going to be around, all types of people today. People that you have an opportunity to just show them love and hope and peace and joy. And maybe begin to cultivate a relationship in order to be able to share the love of God. Now, that changes the way some of us live. Because it's so easy for us to leave this place and to go back into a shell and to put God back in a box and say, I've done my duty, I've done worship. Now I can go back to being who I really am, which I don't really talk to people, I don't really interact with people. I'm really normally not a real happy person. In fact, you know, I really don't tip servers very well. I really don't like to thank people very much. I really am not concerned about talking to neighbors. In fact, I don't want anybody even bothering me in my life. If that's what you're sowing, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap the very same type of life in return. So I want us to spend some time this morning looking at this idea of being sent. And maybe change that concept a little bit to being on mission. Going into the world for the early New Testament Christians was not going to Turkey and not going to Rome and not going to Spain and not going to Northern Africa. Going into the world for them meant they could only go into the world as far as they could at that point in time. Going into the world for us is not going to Jamaica and not going to Africa and India and Canada and Europe and all these different places. It involves that, but in so many more ways, it's going into your neighborhood. It's going into your home. It's going into your workplace. It's going into the ball fields. I mean, when you think about when you're at a ball field and you're there as a dad, as a coach, as a league commissioner, whoever it is, and the way that you act and you interact and you talk and you connect with people, you have a tremendous opportunity right there to be on mission. It changes the way that we view life and people. When we understand that we were created to be that way. So I want us to notice two things this morning, and we're going to finish it up tonight with two more. But specifically this morning, I want you to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 6. Because Isaiah 6 has a verse that we all know, we know very well, but I want you to look at it this morning. Because we're going to notice how important it is for us to step out. To step out of so many different things, to step out of a comfort zone, to step out of maybe what we've always known. And to realize that maybe there's something that God is calling us to be a part that is so much more than anything that we've ever understood or realized before. That maybe the life that we want is out there, but the reason that it's not ours right now is because we haven't stepped out. I want you to notice Isaiah 6, beginning in verse. Let's pick up in verse 6 of Isaiah 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Here I am, send me. How many of y'all remember the draft back in the, late 60s, early 70s? How many of y'all remember it? How many of you all were drafted? Anybody in here was drafted? A few of you? Raise your hands really high so I can see everybody else. Most of us don't understand that. We don't understand the concept of a draft. The whole idea of constriction, of saying, hey, you've got to go do this. So many times in church work, I feel like we treat people like there's a draft. And there's this constriction. You got to go do this. You got to go do that. That's not what God's family is about. God's family is a volunteer family. It's a family full of people who volunteer to do something. And the problem is, I'm afraid too many of us, including myself, have just not been willing to step out and volunteer. When you understand why God created the universe, it helps this a little bit. When you understand that God created the universe so that he could have a family of people who could be a part of something bigger than themselves, who would have the choice, the free will to choose whether or not they were going to love God. And that's been the plan all along. And that's the plan that all of us have heard about. I mean, go back and read Ephesians chapter 1 and you'll understand that plan. That God created the earth with this whole concept in mind, that he wanted a family. He wanted people who could love him and choose to love him and be a part of his family and could help then spread the message of reconciliation. Now, we get the first part of that plan. We understand it. We understand that God knew there was going to be sin. We understood that he had planned from the beginning that he was going to have to send his son to reconcile us to him. We get this. Here's where the rubber meets the road for us, though. Is I'm afraid too many of us are sitting back and enjoying the grace that is meant not only for us, but it's meant for everybody else as well. What would happen in our lives if we were willing to step out and begin living on mission? I tell you, growing up and being in college and going on 3 foreign mission trips, it was great. Going to Jamaica was fantastic. Went to Jamaica for 2 weeks when I was in college. Wonderful trip. Lots of neat stuff, lots of great things. Going to Canada when I was in college was great. Went on another week, 2-week-long campaign up there. Going to Guyana, South America for a week when I was in college was great. It was hot. I got to see anacondas. That still gives me the creeps. I don't like that. But there was all kinds of cool stuff that happened. But here's the thing that happened to me when I was on these mission trips. Is I came back home and I felt guilty. And it wasn't guilty because we were so blessed and we have so much and they had so little. Here's why I felt guilty. Because it was easy for me on a mission trip to get fired up about being on mission. You wake up in the morning and you get together with people and you sing and you pray and you share and you have a devotional that motivates you and that encourages you and you can't wait to go out. And you see people differently when you're on a mission trip. You realize that you're in a country and you're there as an ambassador for Christ, and you see everybody as an opportunity for someone to pray with, someone just to encourage, someone to say, hey, can I help you? Or maybe somebody wants to talk about God. And you do this for a week, and man, you're on point, you're on mission, you're involved, you're upside down for Jesus. And then you come home, and guess what we do? I'll put that aside, and I had to go back to school. And I would study, and I would take tests, and all this kind of stuff. And the people who went on, they went back to work, and they went back to the grind, and they did this, and they did that. But then it was fired up time again, and it was time for us to go back to Guyana or go wherever. And then we would get fired up, and we would go be on point and on mission. And in so many ways, it's how we do church. We come to church on Sundays, and we sing, and we pray, and we listen to a wonderful, heartfelt story there from Brad about what happened in his family and how that connects and illustrates this whole idea of what God wants to do in our lives. And we go, wow, that's powerful. And we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we think maybe for a moment, if we just get that about what Jesus did for our lives, and we think all this stuff and we're on point and we're on mission and we say churchy things like all the things that we do. And then we leave here and it's almost like we go back into the world and go, okay, that's over. Now I'm back. I'm the corporate guy. I'm here to make money. I'm here to build wealth. I'm the sports guy. I'm here to go to sports games. I'm the lake guy. When the church, I believe, wakes up and understands why we're here, I think the world will be amazed. I believe the world will begin to see things that I believe the world needs to see. And that is individual lights that God is able to use to shine into the life of everyone. Imagine, if you will, for just a moment, if we spent every day as if we were on mission. How many of you in here have been on a foreign mission trip before? Loud and proud. Let me see your hands. I want you guys to look around. You understand a little bit about this. What if we woke up tomorrow morning and had the same kind of attitude, the same kind of point of view, the same time of purpose when we're on a mission trip, that I'm on mission? And everybody that I see today is somebody that I can share hope, love, joy, peace, pray with, encourage, talk about God with. Imagine if all, however many of us in here this morning, realize that what this is this morning is just a rallying point for us to be able to be together in the presence of our God as a family of called out people who have chosen to love God, and we're just motivating each other and lifting each other up, motivating us to go into the world and to be on mission. And as we leave here this morning and you go to restaurants, imagine how many people can be impacted for Christ in this community right now as we leave here this morning and you go to wherever it is you eat, and I don't even want to try to endorse any place because I'll forget. But you walk into that restaurant today and that restaurant is going to be blessed, not because you're there, but because God has someone there who can love on people and share with people and lift people up. That the ballpark is going to be a better place because of you and your family, because you're there to lift people up and to love people and to share with people and encourage people and maybe even get to talk about God with them. That your workplace tomorrow morning is going to be a tremendous place because God is going to walk into that place through you and to be able to impact people. That schools are going to be a dynamic opportunity for good to happen because our kids are going to school tomorrow and our kids get to take God and they get to go into schools. Can you imagine how radically different life would be? We have the opportunity to do it. If we just do this first thing, if we step out. We step out of the boat. And I realize that may be difficult. Sitting on the Sea of Galilee here about 6-8 weeks ago and thinking about that happening for me was pretty cool. Sitting there on the side of a boat, very similar to the kind of boat that the disciples would have been in, out there on that lake. It's not a sea, by the way. If you want to get over there, you'll be surprised how small it is. I had this idea that you couldn't see across it and all that stuff. Only about 8 miles wide and about 11 to 13 miles long. But to think about stepping out of that boat into the water, and I mean, but then I realized this. He didn't step out of the boat into the water. He stepped out towards Jesus. And Jesus took care of the rest. So when you think about stepping out this morning, whatever it is you think that's holding you back, you're focusing on the wrong thing. If we focus on Jesus this morning, there's nothing that we can't step out of. Because as long as we're walking towards Him and focused on Him, there's nothing that can stop us. But we've got to be willing to step out. I want you to notice the second thing this morning, and that is this. It's this whole idea of being able and realizing that we should go right now where we can. Go right now where we can. And this goes back to how many churches are, you know, this whole idea of reconciliation. It starts with a very personal level. Here in 2 Corinthians 5, it starts with my relationship with God. And then it moves to a local reconciliation, which is where I think churches are failing miserably. I think churches focus on the personal reconciliation and the foreign mission soil reconciliation. And there's this huge gap in between. We've got to figure out a way of taking this personal reconciliation with God and going to our families, to our homes, to our workplace, to our schools, to our ball fields. At the ball field, do you think about this? When you're out there, do people see God through you? Do they see Jesus through you? There's so many things that we can do and should be doing together. Notice Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And again, this whole idea of going right now where you can. You don't have to wait for the next opportunity to go somewhere, to go overseas or to go somewhere special, set apart, where you can take the world and put the world on hold and go focus for a week. No, notice this. Luke 8 and verse 39. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city. Notice this. The whole city where he lived. If we treated our life as if we were just on mission, it would change the way that we live. But I almost think foreign mission trips have become almost like worship services sometimes. It's just something that we get to go do and we leave the world behind. We come in here and the world's out there and we get to come do this. And if we go for a week to Asia or India or Europe or wherever it is, we get to leave the world behind. We take a week of vacation from work. We take a week away from school. We take a week away from headaches and stresses of life. And then we go do this. Imagine if we changed the way that we viewed this. Instead of Sunday being something we go do once a week, Sunday is just a place where we come together to remind each other that we're on mission 24/7. That we get to be on a mission trip every day of our life. And this is different because it doesn't look the way maybe you've always looked. You don't have to carry around an open Bible study little thing in the back pocket, because I've really found in my life that the questions that people ask me are very rarely the questions that they give you on those sheets of paper. The questions that they ask you are not, Well, are you guys the only one going to heaven? Hey, I'm glad you asked me that because that's question five on my list here. No. They want real world answers. My life's falling apart. My child is sick. My husband's losing his job. You seem like you got something put together here that makes sense. I need help. Let's talk. Now, we'll get to the Bible stuff, yes, but let's talk. Let's pray. Let's connect. Let's be on point and be on mission. I mean, you look at how Jesus lived his life, and it wasn't a walking, talking, canned response to every question that you could think of. It was just an overflow from his heart of love. How do you connect with others about God? This is huge, and I didn't learn this one for a long time. You know, going on those mission trips, I had to be trained, which is funny, to be trained in, how to answer certain questions with Bible answers. And it was funny sitting down at one of the first studies I ever did when I was in Jamaica. This lady asked me questions that I was not prepared for. The study lasted about 5 minutes because the questions that she was asking me was not, scripture questions. It was life questions. And I went back to school after that and I realized, this is different. This is not some canned response that we can just, I've got an answer for that, and I got an answer for this. Yes, we need to be able to give a defense for the gospel. But when you go back and you look at scripture and what those early Christians were dealing with, they weren't dealing with a lot of the things that we tie to those scriptures. False teachers in Jesus' day primarily did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. That was the false teaching of their day. It wasn't that women could wear head coverings or they couldn't wear head coverings when you get to 1 Corinthians 11. The primary false doctrine that was being taught was around the deity of Jesus. Now, we ascribe so many different things to false teaching today that's related to us in our day. But if you go back to the context of really the understanding of what was going on, it was around the deity of Jesus. But I want you to see this because this is huge. If we want to connect people with God, I truly believe the answer is we've got to start living. What are you talking about, Drew? We got to start living. We got to start living John 10, verse 10, every day of our life. Where Jesus said, I came to give you life and give you life what? More what? More abundantly. You want to connect people with God, you start living the abundant life. What does the abundant life look like? It's a reconciled life full of love, hope, peace, joy. You are different. You are strange. There's something different about you. You've gone through something terrible in your life, but yet you still have joy. And somebody looks at you and goes, man, what is up with this guy? He's weird. Yeah, he is. And all of a sudden, they want to figure out what makes you different. And now you've got the open platform to be able to talk about God. Too many of us skip that whole process and we just want to beat them with the Bible and say, here's this, here's that, believe this, believe that, boom. Let's get them baptized. Well, the struggle with that is they don't even care to hear it from us in the first place. They think we're too judgmental. They think we're too critical. They think all these things about us. If they could just see us living on mission as radically changed people who have stepped out of the old way of living, and they realize that everywhere they go, they are to spread love, joy, hope, peace, reconciliation, all that stuff. People are going to want to hear what has made you so different, and then they will be receptive to what it is that you've got to share. This changes the game for us in so many ways. This changes the way that I was raised. You see, we've done a very good job of training generation after generation after generation that this is it. And if you want to be on mission, you go somewhere else. That's where we spend most of our money. That's where we send all this. I mean, we do all this stuff. But we don't worry about necessarily living any different ourselves. In some cases, it's easier for us to write a check than it is for us to surrender our will. So I want to ask you, what are you doing right now that's going to last forever? Now, you stop. Just stop and think about that. But I don't want you to answer the question right now. I want you to answer it tomorrow when you're at school and you found out you got 100 things to do, you're going to have homework, you got sports, you got everything flying at you at one time, you're late, you've just locked your keys in your car and you're freaking out, what are you doing that's going to last forever? When you're at work and you're in the middle of a corporate meeting this week and everybody's pulling out their hair and everybody's angry and mad because the bottom line looks terrible, ask yourself, what are you doing that's going to last forever? I believe when you go back to the book of Acts, one of the reasons why they understood and were able to be on mission every moment of their life was because they knew what would last forever. They weren't worried about the threat of being martyred. They weren't worried about the threat of being murdered. They weren't worried about the threat of losing family because they realized that stuff didn't matter long term. What mattered long term was the souls of men and women. So let me ask you this. What are you concerned about most right now? And what is standing in your way right now of stepping out? What's keeping you from stepping out of the boat? And whatever it is, what is it that's standing in the way of you becoming more like Christ? What's standing in the way of you right now from getting out of that pew and doing something completely different? Maybe something you've never done before. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's fear. What is it that's keeping you from becoming a child of God? Of tasting that sweet heavenly gift of grace and mercy, of connecting with Him through that death, burial, and resurrection where we contact the blood of Jesus? What is it? I promise you this. If you and I this morning will focus completely on Jesus right now, there will be nothing that will keep us from stepping out. If you need to come, I encourage you to do it while we stand and sing.